Father, thank you this morning that we can come together and listen to your Holy Spirit teach us the Word of God. Thank you, Father, that you're going to lead us and guide us into all truth this morning. We know that you are faithful to your Word. And Father, we thank you and we praise you this morning for what you're going to reveal to us. Give us discernment of this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. As we continue our study on staying the course, we're going to look at the Syrophoenician woman this morning, that Greek woman that boldly came to Jesus in her time of need. We're going to be reading from verse 21 of Matthew 15, and then I want to look at it also from Mark's Gospel. You may even want to just hold your place on that one. That'll be Mark chapter 7. So let's read from verse 21 of Matthew 15, King James Bible. Then Jesus went from there and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered her and said, "It is not meet," or it's not proper or good, "to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as you will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. My goodness. Now, hold your place there. I want to turn to Mark and chapter 7, where this event is also recorded by Mark, verse 24. And these two combined will give us some context. So Mark chapter 7, verse 24 reads, "From there he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him," now take note of that, "and came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation. "And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her. But Jesus said to her, 'Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet, not proper, to take the children's bread, cast it to the dogs.' And she answered and said unto him, 'Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs.' He said unto her, 'For this saying, go your way, the devil is gone out of your daughter.' And when she had come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed." So, verse 24 again. Just going back to verse 24. "And from there he arose and went into the border of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid." Jesus wanted a rest. He wanted to have a break. If you go back to Matthew 15 for a moment, and you were to study from Matthew 14 through to the text that we read, you'll discover that Jesus experienced a lot of things in those few chapters. One, his cousin was murdered by Herod. Pretty significant. He then tried to go to a desert place to be alone because even Jesus grieved. But he couldn't. Then he had multitude on the, he had compassion on the multitudes that, came wanting to hear him. He couldn't contain the love and mercy and grace that was in him. And what did he do? Fed him. Fed the multitude. Then he, you know, he sends the disciples away and they all depart. And he's, you know, in a mountain place praying for most of the night. Then, of course, he goes on and, you know, Jesus, he walks on the water. And then, of course, we have the story where Peter got out of the boat and took a few steps by faith. But then he looked and he sank or began to sink. And, of course, after that, he moves into Gennesaret. So Gennesaret is in that sort of Galilee area. It's on the west side of the sea, you know, the Sea of Galilee or the lake. And you've got all that area that he's ministering in. Tyre and Sidon is to the west and north. So you've got Tyre, a fishing village, and Sidon, which is in Phoenicia, which is in Gentile country. Not Jewish, Gentile. So if you look at the Mediterranean Sea, it's the eastern coast of the Mediterranean. So he's now moved up about 60 kilometers. Why? He needs a break. He's overwhelmed. Hasn't had time to even grieve his cousin's death. It was his cousin. And I'm sure they spent a lot of time together. So now we have this story. This woman comes to him. And we know from Mark's gospel, he's in a house. He's not just walking the streets. She's boldly gone to a house where a rabbi is. He's rabbi, he's master. She's not a Jew. She's a Greek from Phoenicia. Syrophoenician. So, you know, that's why he's there. But we know Jesus did nothing unless the Father spoke to him first. He didn't say anything unless he heard the Father, and he didn't do anything unless he saw the Father do it. So he's gone up into that northern aspect beyond the borders of Israel for a purpose. He's gone to have a rest. But that's not the Father's will. Now, in Mark, it said she heard of him. Well, let's have a look at that. Have a look at Mark chapter 3. I want to show you a few things about this region. Mark chapter 3 and verse 7. So Mark chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, but Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, which is a southern portion of Israel, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came to him. That'll tell you a reason why she heard something. A great multitude from this non-Jewish region, Phoenicia, had heard about Jesus and they were pressing in. They were coming to him. So we'll keep reading. Have a look at Luke chapter 6. Just go over to Luke. Luke chapter 6. I want to read from verse 17. A similar account. So Luke's gospel is recording something similar, but he makes an interesting point here. He came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea, Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Was that just Jews? No. No. Oh, this is opening up something. Oh, I just noticed this today. They came from that whole region to him. Now, we're going to read in a minute that Jesus said to her, I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Does that mean they couldn't come to him? Think about it. He said, I'm sent. I can't go to them specifically, but did they come to him? Did a centurion come to him? You betcha. Multitudes came to him from round about these regions, not just Israel. Now look at the outcome. This is interesting. Which came to hear him. How does faith come? Hearing the word. And to be healed of their diseases, look at verse 18, and they were vexed or tormented with unclean spirits, and they were what?
Healed.
Healed. Now, I can't believe that that was just Jews. I cannot accept that. Not when it says they came from all those regions, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. They were healed. Keep reading. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue or power out of him and healed them. Now go back to Matthew 15. Now we've got some context here. So he is about 57 to 60 kilometers north of where he's been ministering in that part of Sidon. All right? Now look at this woman. It says, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, this is verse 22, and cried to him. Now we know she's come to a house, don't we? We know that from Mark's gospel. She came to a house where Jesus was reclining. He was resting. He didn't want people to actually know he was there. Interesting. Interesting. So he's reclining. She comes to him and she cries to him, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. I want to read this from the Amplified. It really gives you some context. The Amplified Bible. And behold, a woman who was a Canaanite from the district came out and with a loud, troublesomely urgent cry begged. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is miserably and distressingly and cruelly possessed by a demon. Can you see her urgent cry? Can you see the urgency in this? She wasn't leaving here without an answer. She came to a house where a Jewish rabbi was. Now, she had no covenant with God. She had no covenant. She had no right to make a demand on the covenant. But you know what? She said something which is very interesting. She said, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Now, we're not going to unpack that today, but I want to just make this point. Son of David was a messianic title. Was a messianic title. King David was promised that one of his offspring would rule forever. Is that true? He was promised that. And of course, Jesus never denied that he was the son of David. In fact, if you were to read Matthew 21:15, you know, we often refer to it as Palm Sunday, when they walk down and say, Hosanna to the son of David. What did he say? Do you hear what they're saying? Do you hear what they're saying? Out of the mouth of babes, if these people shut up, even the stones will give me praise. Remember that? He didn't deny that he was the son of David. He affirmed it. It was a messianic title. He was Messiah, Yeshua. For her to say that is extraordinary. She must have had some knowledge of Jewish history. She must have listened to something that caused her to believe in her heart that Jesus was the Christ. It's extraordinary. Extraordinary. But this is a power. Remember, she was after uncovenanted mercy. She was not covenanted with Israel. She was after uncovenanted mercy from God, but she had no legitimate claim to mercy. She had none, but she came to him. I want to show something here because this is really intriguing. So she says that, but he answered her not a word. Now you might think, wow, why would he do that? You know, she's come to him begging, didn't answer a word. Let's put it another way, ignored her. Or was he? And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. That's an interesting comment. You know, just send her away. Maybe they weren't quite sure. They may have interpreted Jesus' silence as an unwillingness to extend grace and mercy to this Gentile woman. Send her away. She's troublesome. We don't need it. But he answered her and said, I am not sent. Don't miss this. I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That word sent is apostle. I'm not an apostle to the Gentiles. Who was? Paul and the others. This woman was ahead of her time, spiritually speaking. She was jumping the queue. She wanted the grace. She was knocking on grace's door. So you've got to understand something. She was not trying to get something through a legal process. That's why she went away with what she asked for. This wasn't a legal process. She was making a demand on the grace of God by faith. He said, I'm not sent. Well, we know that many got healed, and he wasn't sent to them either. They came to him. This is important. So look at her response. Then came she. So I reckon she's at the front door. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's dying. Well, not dying. She's tormented with a devil. Come, she's vexed. She's distressed. And he says, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she went right up to him. She pushed her way through. That's how I see it. She just pushed her way in. She entered him. And have a look at it. Then came her and worshipped him. She worshipped him. She got down before him and said, Lord, help me. And you know what? That'll get the attention of Jesus. It got the attention of Jesus with blind Bartimaeus, didn't it? Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, you know what? She's making the same plea. Bartimaeus had covenant. She doesn't. So is delay denial? Well, let's have a look. Let's have a look with this. But he answered and said, it is not meet or not good or proper to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now the children's bread, the children here are the children of Israel. Bread in this case is deliverance. Healing, deliverance. And it can be a number of other things, but we're going to just hone in on that. I mean, he's the bread of life. He's the bread of life. But at the moment, the only one that could partake of the bread of life were those that were covenanted with God through the law of Moses. But he is the bread of life. So you might think, why would he call her dogs, a dog? If you study out that word there, the word dogs is used throughout the scriptures. But this one's got a unique meaning. It means little puppies, pets. When dogs used in other occasions in the Bible, it's referring to a dog or a hound. You know, Philippians 3 talks about beware of dogs, hound. Jesus talks about dogs, hound. This one, dogs, little puppies, little whelps, a unique meaning in the Bible. He wasn't being harsh with her. He wasn't being rude or arrogant, he was making a statement based on legal premise. He didn't come to provide bread to those outside of the covenant of Israel. That's not why he came. But she wasn't having a bar of that. She wasn't having a bar of that. Have a look at this. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from... Do you notice the word in the King James after that? There. There, master's table. table. Their master's table. What is she saying here? They may be the children, but I'm the puppy in the house. I'm the pet. You're still my master. I have right to eat the crumbs. Their master's table. You know? She's identifying the position that she's chosen to take. I'm identifying you as my Lord. Therefore, you're right. I may not have the right to eat the bread on the table, but I can take the second pickings. Have a look. Go back with me to Mark. Mark 7 for a moment. Look how Mark writes this, and he uses one specific word which gives us some insight. Oh, sorry, Mark 7 again. Verse 27. But Jesus said to her, let the children, what's the next word he used? First. Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet or proper to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Let the children first be filled. Which tells me that he wasn't denying her. But this woman, to receive the mercy and the grace, had to take it by faith. She had to take it by faith. How did everyone in this room get saved? We're saved by grace through faith. We're healed by grace through faith. We're delivered by grace through faith. You know, God's prosperity comes by grace through faith. Faith in what? Faith in what he has said. The reason why this woman came to Jesus, she heard. She heard about the healing miracles. She heard, and I'm convinced she heard that non-Jews got healed. I'm convinced of it. He's gone a long way up into that, you know, northern part, just below Lebanon. He's gone way outside, you know, his mandated area. But that's okay. Jesus can go wherever the Father leads him. Now, if you think about it, the gospel, really the gospels, when you study them, you know, through a filter of the grace and mercy of God, they're all about revealing God's grace and showing how futile the law is and how limited the law is, and those that try to fulfill it are going to come short, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that. So the Gospels, all throughout the Bible, these Gospels are revealing the grace and mercy of God. God loved the world, he gave grace. Full of grace and truth. That's who Jesus was, full of grace and truth. He gave love. He gave Jesus. He gave grace. This woman was tapping in to that very thing. So she pressed in. She wasn't going to just accept no for an answer. She could have. She said, I've only come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She could have walked out. That daughter would have stayed demonized until she died, whatever the outcome was. All we know is this. This was a tough, tough situation for her. How many families today have demonized children, demonic, possessed children they can't control because things have been allowed to enter in? They may not be in covenant with God. They don't know about this loving Jesus, and they're looking for ways to try and minimize the impact of the torment on the minds of these children, many of which suicide, because the devil comes to steal, then kill, then destroy. And he does a good job of that. Steals the word first, then he kills, then he destroys. It's got to be the word he steals first. So, just going back then to Matthew 15, we're just going to continue reading. I'll read verse 27 again. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith, be it unto you even as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So was that a progressive healing? Interesting. From that hour, there was a deliverance. from that hour. Why did this happen? Why did Jesus go outside the rules? Or did he? Did he go outside the rules? I assert not. He didn't go outside the rules. Because she received by faith. And, you know, it was Abraham, long before the law was introduced, who was declared righteous by faith. Long before the law. Righteous by faith. Well, there was something about this woman that was righteous. She made a demand on him. She declared him son of David, Lord. She made a declaration. Jesus picked up on that. He just wanted her to go that one little bit. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Are you willing to press? You know, this is about what staying the course is. Are we willing to press even though everything is working against us in the natural? Are we willing to stay the course even when everything our body says you're never going to get your healing, but he's already paid for it? It's paid for. We don't have to get anything. We take it by faith. But it takes trust in what he said. And you know what? Healings can be instant and they can be progressive. But we keep pressing in and declaring what God has said. She wasn't going to leave without the victory. Can you imagine the joy that would have flooded her soul when she got home, whatever distance that was from where Jesus was to where she lived, and saw her daughter lying on that bed, completely delivered. It would have been overwhelming. And I'll tell you what, you don't think she would have been evangelist in Sidon from that day forward? She would have been proclaiming that everywhere she could possibly go, that Jesus, that Yeshua from down in southern Israel, delivered my daughter of a demon. Something else too. She must have understood something about demons. She recognized what was on her daughter. She knew it was a demon. This woman had done some research. She understood something about covenant. Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table. This woman understood some things and she made a demand on it. That's why we have to go and proclaim the gospel. They've got to hear something. So they hear something and then they receive it and then they believe and they get saved. That's how it works. They've got to hear it first. Well, but even before that, someone's got to be sent. Well, he said, I'm sent. But you know what? He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but the disciples were ultimately sent to not only the Jews but also the Gentile nations. They were apostles to the Gentile nations as well. As I said, this woman was ahead of her time, spiritually speaking. She was jumping the queue in terms of receiving from the God of heaven. And she was a Gentile. She had no right to that covenant, no right at all. So, a couple of things here. You know, she lived out the principles Jesus himself taught in the parable of the persistent widow. Have a look at that very quickly in Luke 18. Luke 18. And we're reading from verse 1 of Luke 18. It says this. And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. So this guy's just had an absolute, he's full of this woman. He's had enough of her. She just keeps badgering him. You know, avenge me of my adversaries. So look at the principle here. Then it goes on to say, Jesus and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith in the earth? Now, the Bible tells us, ask and you shall receive, doesn't it? Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. Well, you could also say, ask and keep asking. Don't stop. Don't stop asking. Keep thanking him. Keep pressing in until the manifestation comes. Now, there are some things in the Bible where we know it's the Word of God and we know it's his will and we make a demand on that will and we take it by faith when we pray. You don't need to ask again. You need to ask again for that. When it's his promise, it's yours. Take it. Receive means to take. We take it by faith and then we thank him for it until the manifestation comes. But there may be some things that aren't specifically the written will of God, and we have to find out what is his specific will for us in terms of life directions, life unions, a whole range of things, ministry callings, direction we go in. We keep pressing in. We keep asking God until he shows us something. Do we go this way? Do we go that? Do we go forward? Do we step back? Do we take on this project or we don't have a bar of that? Do we raise certain people up or do we not? You know, Jesus prayed all night before he chose 12, did he not? Prayed all night. And then God gave him the 12. And one was a traitor. Interesting. God knows what he's doing, people, even when we've got some difficult people in our world. There's a reason for that. God knows. Yes. See, this was a mother's heart that wouldn't accept no for a daughter's sake. The mother's heart was so at work here. She begged Jesus. Jesus acknowledged her with great faith. Now, there's only one other area in the Bible, unless someone corrects me here, that I can recall where Jesus uses that term, great faith. And that was the centurion. You know? And isn't it interesting what the centurion said? He said, Lord, just speak a word. Just speak a word and my servant will be healed. Because I'm a man under authority. And I'm a man with authority. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. What he was saying is, I know that your word is like a servant. It's going to produce after its own kind. As much as I understand authority and I understand those under me who'll do what I say, I understand that if you speak it, it's going to happen. He called that great faith. Now, I'll tell you why he did. Because that centurion was relying only on the word of God and nothing else to convince him that it was so. That's great faith today. When we say, you know what, doctor, I appreciate that diagnosis of me, but the Bible says I'm healed. And he says, whatever. Whatever. You say, thank you. The word says I'm healed. That's all I need. And it's so. I'll tell you what, you won't be broke and sick and desperate very long in life if you have that degree of faith. It doesn't matter what anyone says. The word of God's already decreed what you are and who you are and your position in the realm of the Spirit. Seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, there's no sickness in heavenly places. There's no oppression. There's no recession in heaven. There's provision. Gold streets, I might add. Gold streets. There's none of that in heavenly places, but that's where we're seated spiritually. But we have to lift ourselves above what the world narrative is and what the kingdom narrative is. And the kingdom narrative is bring heaven to earth. The kingdom of God is within, the Bible says. It's within us, you know? And we have that. And we can declare that. And we have the authority to declare that. And we should declare it. We should declare it. Now, I understand this. To someone that doesn't have a faith in Jesus Christ or has never read the Bible, you would seem like a fool. That's fair enough. You would seem like a fool. Well, they laughed at Jesus too. You're in good company. They laughed him to scorn. Have you ever been laughed to scorn by a group of people? Well, if you haven't been laughed to scorn yet, don't worry about it. He was. And what did he say? Kick him out. I'm going in to heal that girl. Because this man's facing operation and it's drawing me and pulling me to do it because he said, go and lay your hands on her and she will be healed and she'll live. And that's exactly what happened to Jairus' daughter. He was scorned. He didn't care. He didn't care. Do we care? You know, when you lay hands on your baby and you're believing to heal and the doctor looking and saying, well, you realize this is serious, people. This is serious. This child needs serious intervention. She's already got it. I'm not saying we don't go to doctors. Please understand something. Doctors can only do so much. There are a lot of times where doctors don't have an answer. They can't. What do you do when they can't? Well, he can, and he has, and he will. That's what we do. We press into the one who can and will when they say, I can't. That's the God that we serve. That's what this woman did. She pressed in and she got what she believed for. And you know what? Her faith superseded law. Don't miss that, people. Grace supersedes law. It's above it. It's a higher level. It superseded the law. The law didn't have a place here. It was pushed in the back burner because she had no covenant right to make a demand on healing for her or deliverance for her daughter. But she went to Grace himself. She bypassed the legal process. She went straight to Grace himself and said, yes, Lord, but I have rights to the crumbs. That's what he wanted. That's what he was trying to preach to Israel. You know what? She recognized him as the Messiah. The Jews didn't. They didn't. But she did. She recognized he was the Messiah. They didn't. Who are you? Where are you from? You know, how can you say that? You're not even 50 years old, and before Abraham was, I am. Well, that got their attention. It's like putting a knife in their back. Hang on, before Abraham was, you were, I am. Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh, Almighty God, Jehovah. They didn't like that. I love Jesus' boldness. My goodness. All right. Almost done. Remember the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4? Well, there's a particular point there where, you know, her little boy died and she put him up in the top room and she went off to the prophet Elisha. She was going to the prophet. And remember, she got to the house and she kept maintaining a good confession. It is well. When she spoke to, the prophet's servant, that's what she said to him. And then, of course, Elisha sent the servant to the house. Take the staff with you. Go. And what did she do? She wouldn't leave the house. And what did she say? She says, you know, she would not leave the prophet until she got a request. If you can study that in 2 Kings 4:30, she wouldn't leave that prophet. This woman wasn't leaving that house in Sidon until she got what she asked for. She was not leaving. When you're that bold, when you're that determined to press into God and not leave the throne until you get what you're believing for, you'll get it. That's faith in God. And Jesus said, that's great faith. I'm convinced he kicked the desk or the chair or whatever he was next to when he just kicked it with joy. He said, yes, that's what he was wanting. He's just hanging there. These disciples, he can get rid of her. Kick her out. And Jesus going, just a bit more. Yes. It was like crossing the finishing line. He went, yes. I'm sure he jumped up and said, great faith, woman. And the disciples are going, what? No idea. Looking through natural eyes, flesh. They didn't see what he was seeing. They didn't understand it. Just kick her out, kick her out. Kick her out. No. No. No one who comes to Jesus in faith is going to be denied. No one. And nor was this woman. See, she stayed the course, people. We've got to stay the course. She didn't have this. We've got it. She didn't have the Word of God that she can open up and read. She wasn't covenant with Israel. She was right on the outer, but she wasn't going home empty, and nor should we. Let's wind this up with a few learnings. This Gentile woman had great faith that many Jews who did not believe Jesus, she had greater faith than many of the Jews who did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. The grace of God is available to those who will take it by faith. The woman was ahead of her time. Absolutely. She was ahead of her time. Jesus hadn't gone to Calvary's cross to make a way for the Gentiles yet, but she found a way because of her faith. Jesus wasn't trying to avoid this woman. Delay didn't mean denial. Just because there's delays doesn't mean that God's denying us something. Unworthiness is not a disqualifier to receiving from God. She could have been offended, people. What do you mean you call me a dog? I'm not a dog. You Jews. But he wasn't referring to her in that context. I mean, she wasn't offended. Had she have taken offense to that, she would never have received anything. She didn't allow offense to rob her of the freedom that comes only through Jesus Christ. She didn't allow offense to rob her. Don't let offense rob us, people. Don't ever let offense get in the way of love. Don't do it. It'll shut down everything that's worthy in your life concerning your ministry, your faith walk. Offense is demonic. The devil wants us to get offended. Jesus said, woe to those who take offense. Woe. He knows. Faith works by love. Got to keep that engine going, that engine of faith, that love walk. Keep it going. The exceeding great and precious promises of God are ours for the taking. They're ours now. Don't withdraw, don't pull back, but stay the course. The daughter's deliverance wasn't earned or deserved. It was a gift, and this gospel of grace must go out to all the world. That's why she got it. Thank God we have this account in the scriptures for us. So when we're in a press, we can act like she did. It's a powerful story, people. And God clearly wants us to walk in victory all the days of our life. Thank you, Lord. Amen.